Over the years, CryoConnect by Knowledge Networks has spoken with the leaders shaping the future of artificial intelligence across the world in boardrooms, global summits, live conferences, and on international stages. From the World AI Summit to several other global forums, these conversations have brought together technologists, policymakers, entrepreneurs, and operators who are not just talking about AI, but building it, governing it, and living with its consequences. In this episode, we bring you highlights from those conversations, moments that cut across responsible AI, climate innovation, interdisciplinary talent, enterprise reliance, and the human role in an AI-driven economy. So let's begin with a foundational question. How do leaders think about ethics and responsibility when deploying AI at scale?
So moving from privacy to, you know, looking at ethics and responsible AI, some of these companies that I talk to have set up ethics boards, etc. Talk about some suggestions, especially from your experience with Microsoft and others, in terms of how important it is to make sure that you look at ethics, you look at responsible AI. Talk a little bit about that.
As enterprises race to operationalize AI, responsibility is no longer an afterthought. It's becoming part of organizational design itself. From ethics councils to cross-functional governance, leaders are beginning to ask not just what AI can do, but what it should do and where it delivers impact.
And we have an office called Responsible AI, which is an AI council. Mm-hmm. And it's not just technologists, it's not just business, it's a cross-functional organization to understand the regulatory environment, the ethics, and the framework that's associated with it, but also what is the most impactful. So you talked about prioritization of the different use cases. Mm-hmm. This was a great group of people that provided the insight of what the technology is capable of and what will have business impact.
Beyond enterprise use cases, AI is also being deployed against some of the most urgent challenges facing humanity. Challenges where speed, scale, and discovery matter deeply. One such frontier is climate science, where AI is helping rethink how we capture carbon, store energy, and even imagine the materials of the future.
This company that I co-founded with Chet Edwards, he's in Cambridge, by the way, so we're a distributed company. Was started on the basis of a mutual worry that we have about the state of the climate and the inability of politics to do anything about it. So people don't quite see the actual urgency of it right now. And so we thought, what can we do in order to move the needle on this problem? And so we saw that AI was definitely being used for this, you know, not just simulating molecules, but also searching through molecules. And then we connected up with two important chemists, Susanna Garcia and Baron Schmidt, who had already developed a platform to evaluate any material that's called a reticular material, nanoporous material, often called metal organic framework, that is very good at capturing carbon dioxide in its pores. So it's binding carbon dioxide in its pores. But it turns out that it's for every process that you have in order to capture the carbon, or even in any region where you place your machine to capture the carbon, you need different materials that are optimal for this process. And so we then, you know, came up with an algorithm to search through the space for the optimal materials for carbon capture. But that's just one application. Even in the same space of materials, these metal organic frameworks, you can also they also use to store hydrogen. So you can find the optimal material to store hydrogen or to do gas separation more generally. And then if you're willing to move a little bit away from that specific class of materials, you can start to apply it to search for new semiconductors that could replace silicon in the end and help make sure that Moore's Law will continue.
What stands out across these breakthroughs is not just the technology, but the collaboration behind it. AI today no longer belongs to one discipline. It lives at the intersection of chemistry, machine learning, software engineering, and business strategy.
Wow, that's very impressive. Max, we have other entrepreneurs listening to this podcast. You said you hired some chemists. You are an AI person. How is the interface between, let's just say, subject matter experts and AI? How do you manage that? This is for some of these people who are building these tools, because you got to have some interdisciplinary expertise. So how are you dealing with that? Please tell our audience a little bit.
That's a great question. I think it's also probably the most exciting part of our company that we use, not just in the technical side. So of course we need chemists, material scientists, machine learning experts, but also software engineers and machine learning engineers, and there's a whole scala, plus business people, of course, to also deal with the partnerships. Now, you need to learn each other's language. And so people are in the machine learning side are learning chemistry fast, and the people on the chemistry side are learning machine learning fast. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be an intrinsic desire to learn and reach out to the other side, basically. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, we select the people that join our company based on those skills, their interest to grow and learn about interdisciplinary topics.
As these teams come together, the definition of talent itself is changing. In a world flooded with explanations, what organizations increasingly value is something far more rare: problem solvers.
My main one, usually, I need somebody who can solve problems. You see, that is where now we are differentiating between one individual and another. I need somebody. You know, we can have quite a number of people who can explain the problems. And explaining the problem has never become a problem. You know, you enter into a room and everybody will explain the problem in different ways. But I think one of the key and differentiating factor, especially in our moving economy right now, is we need people who can solve problems, people who can solution issues. People who can take the problems and say, give me 2 days, give me 3 days, I know how to fix this. So when you become that person, you become a bit more valuable. And that is what I look into people. I don't want somebody to explain to me the problem because I already know it, but I want a different perspective. How can we solve this problem? How can we solution? Because it is the human mind that can give you guidance on the steps on how you can actually solve the problems. And we are looking for problem solvers. I'm looking for problem solvers. Everybody's looking for problem solvers. Yeah.
But talent and tools alone are not enough. As AI becomes embedded deeper into enterprise infrastructure, leaders are being forced to confront difficult questions around trust, dependency, and resilience. Recent disruptions have made one thing clear: AI systems don't exist in isolation. They sit in critical parts, shaping business continuity itself.
I think it was a wake-up call for everybody. And a wake-up call in terms of how we think about two things. One, we place a lot of trust in technology and technology vendors. And oftentimes, and I've seen this behavior before, where executives and companies will buy things because other executives bought that thing. And eventually you see growth in a technology sector or a technology company, but you don't actually go back and check to see how that is fundamentally operating. Or you just assume, well, if they were able to do it, this other company was able to do it, I should be able to do it too. So I think there was this big question of trust but verify that wasn't going on, and not just to CrowdStrike, writ large, we've now seen this. And also writ large, we've seen a lot of organizations take a step back and now have bigger questions about resiliency. And this idea of, to your point, you go single vendor. Well, if they're in the critical path and something happens to that vendor and that technology, how does that put my customers, how does that put my business at risk? And am I willing to take that risk on? I don't think people really understood when they were buying CrowdStrike or other types of technology that they were going to be in the critical path. I think the assumption was always, well, if something does happen, it's an agent and maybe the agent will stop working, but the underlying operating system should be fine. I think it's a wake-up call for a lot of companies to interrogate, do the trust and verification. I think it's also a wake-up call for companies to revisit the way they think about resiliency. And I've actually surprisingly seen so many conversations from CIOs and CISOs And this is the number one topic they want to talk about, because their boards are telling them, we cannot have that repeat itself, or maybe we weren't impacted, but we need to consider this across the different vendors and technologies we've accepted today.
Across these conversations, one theme is clear. AI leadership today is not just about the hype. It's about responsibility, interdisciplinary thinking, resilience, and above all, it's about the people, solving real problems in a rapidly changing world. These were just a few voices from Kaio Connect, recorded live at our various forums that we were part of as Knowledge Network's ongoing mission to democratize AI leadership and talent globally. Thank you for listening. Catch more conversations with leaders shaping AI enterprise exclusively on the Kaio Connect podcast by Knowledge Networks, where the world's top chief AI officers converge.